Welcome to the fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Family of God. Today's sermon title, The Divine Nature. Open your Bible to 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, and let's begin.
In 1953, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay were the first two people to stand on top of Mount Everest. Many others had tried, but these were the first two to make it. It was an incredible accomplishment. Hillary was from New Zealand, and Tenzing Norgay was from Nepal. And they set up a base camp, a high base camp at 23,000 feet. They set the push camp at 27,000 feet, and the mountain is 29,000 feet. That's about 5 miles above sea level. It's so high that people die of altitude disease. You can't stay up there very long. It will kill you. It took 400 people to make it possible for two people to get on the mountain. There were 362 porters and 20 Sherpa guides. They carried 10,000 pounds of baggage so two people could get on the mountain. This is what Hillary wrote after. On the day they made their push to the top, I noticed a crack between the rock and the snow sticking to the east face. I crawled inside and wriggled and jammed my way to the top. Tenzing slowly joined me and we moved on. I chopped steps over bump after bump, wondering a little desperately where the top could be. Then I saw the ridge ahead drop away to the north, and above me on the right was a mound of snow dome. A few more whacks with my ice axe, and Tenzing and I stood on top of Mount Everest. They created a tradition: if you get to the top, you should leave something. And Tenzing left the thing he cherished the most, a box of chocolates. And Hillary left a cross that the expedition manager, John Hunt, had given him to leave up there. It was a remarkable feat. Even to this day, it is a remarkable feat to get to the top of Everest. But why would you do it? Nobody paid him to do it. In fact, it cost them money to do it. It's not hardly entertaining. It's not like going to the Caribbean on vacation. It was all labor and work. Why would they do it? Well, it turns out it's human nature. There's something in human nature that says yes to challenges like that. Why did they climb it? Because it was there. And there's something about human nature that is inspired by such challenges. Human nature is absolutely fascinating. At our very best, we are capable of miraculous accomplishments. But when human nature is corrupted, we can be beastly. When human nature is corrupted and beastly desires are released, ugly things happen. When human nature is corrupted and beastly behaviors are permitted, the world gets worse around us. When human nature is corrupted and beastly conflict breaks out, we stop remembering that we share a common life and we begin to see others as inhuman enemies. When beastly prejudice breaks out, culture itself is corrupted. So human nature is this spectrum for the accomplishment of the remarkable and for the abuse of everyone around us. We're capable of both. We're capable of climbing Mount Everest, but we're also capable of going into a bar and shooting and killing as many people as we can at one time. That's all human nature, church. And in the family of God, human nature is not enough. You can't be in the family of God if all you have is human nature. Because God's nature is so much higher than ours. So to bring us into the family, God shares his divine nature with you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't just have the human nature, you have been given by God the divine nature. Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul says. I'm sorry, what the Apostle Peter says. Peter wrote this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through sinful desire. Did you hear what Peter said? Peter, who was a personal follower of Jesus Christ, said, you can escape what is most corrupt about human nature, and your nature can be elevated by sharing in the divine nature that God gives to his family members. Human nature is enriched and we become godlike. See, the word godly is a compressing of the word godlikeness or godlikely. And it gets compressed from godlikeness to godliness. The divine nature changes my human nature, and something of the nature of God makes me better than I would have been. It makes me godlike. The word that gets translated godlike here is, or godly, is the Greek word that sebas, and it originally meant reverential awe. A feeling of awe and shame that arises to prevent one from doing something disgraceful. When I share in the divine nature, something inside of me changes. And I have a sensitivity about doing right that I didn't have before I had the divine nature. I have an inability to live with my own iniquity. My nature is changed. Do you get that? If you haven't received the divine nature, You can be a pretty ugly person and live with yourself. It just doesn't bother you that much. But when you receive the divine nature, you can't do it anymore. There's something of the divine nature in you that says, this isn't right. I can't do this. There's something of the divine nature that just withers under the tyranny of sin. In the family of God, we share the divine nature. It's what makes us a family. Do you get it? The family of God is not just a pretty label. It is a shared nature. I've met many of you and your brothers and sisters, and I can see your family in you. If you meet my brothers, you could see it's easy to tell they're my brothers. I start recognizing young men standing like their father. And if you said that to them, they would deny it instantly. Ah, but you see it in the nature, don't you? I see young ladies who have a smile that looks just like their mom's. I would never tell them that. But you can see the family nature in each other, can't you? Well, the same thing is true in the family of God. The family of God is not just a fancy name that the people in the Bible cooked up. It is a shared nature. When God brings us into his family, his nature starts changing our nature, and we become more and more like him, and we become more and more like each other in the family. And that's the way it's supposed to be. The divine nature empowers and improves my human nature. To say it very simply, the divine nature makes us better souls. Whoever I am, whatever my psyche is, the real person that I am, the divine nature improves that. And I become a better man because God's nature is affecting my human nature. In fact, we have to have the divine nature so that we're able to relate to God. We can't relate to God without the divine nature. You see, there was a time when mankind shared the divine nature and we loved being around God. We liked it. Moses said that Adam and God went for a walk every evening in the cool of the evening. God would show up to Adam and Eve and say, let's walk around the land a little bit. They enjoyed each other's company. But Adam and Eve opted out of the family. They said to God, you know, we've got some other plans here for ourselves. We've got some other things we'd like to do. We're not going to walk around every night anymore. And they broke for humanity the capacity to relate to God. And without the divine nature, you can't relate to God and I can't relate to God. You get it? We're just not capable. The nature of God is transcendent, and his nature has to affect my nature before I can relate to him. Church, I'm telling you, you did not find God. He found you. He found you and shared his nature with you and changed your human nature so that you're interested in him and there's something about him that's compelling and calling to you. Because without the divine nature, we are all alienated from God. This word divine nature is used one other place in the Bible, and it's Romans 1:20. And Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. For God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made so that they are without excuse. This is what Paul is saying. The divine nature isn't alien. When I was a boy, there was the Twilight Zone, and there was the Outer Limits. It was black and white TV, but it would scare the bejesus out of me. Can anybody remember? I can remember being petrified. And now I look back at those old black and white movies, and I think that's pretty hokey. But when that little mouth shoots out of that alien head, that's still pretty creepy. Church, I mustn't think of God as alien, as some kind of other strange being. His divine nature marks all of creation. Here's what I'm going to say. When you find the presence of God, you always feel at home. Church, I can't ever remember being in God's presence where I felt like I was in an alien place. In fact, what I always say to myself is, this is so good for my soul. Why don't I pursue God more often? Church, the divine nature isn't alien. There is something very soothing and enriching and beautiful to our soul in the divine nature. And so now I want to ask you a question. Are you estranged from the family of God? Families get estranged from each other, you know. Stuff happens, and families develop attitudes. And then there's no gentleness toward each other. And we stop seeing anything good, and all we see is the bad. Are you estranged from the family of God? When you see the church, the family of God, do you only see the bad, the ugly, the broken? Or when you see the family of God, you say, it is a beautiful thing that God is at work in the world making people like this. Church, if you're estranged from the family of God, the very first thing you should ask yourself, is it possible I've never shared in the divine nature? See, there's a difference between being religious and having God change your character. There's a difference between doing your duty and having a longing to be hanging around where God is doing stuff. Church, the family of God is not the Heavenly Father calling us all in, giving us a good scolding, and repeating the rules to us again. God is not a father who sets us down and says, how many times am I going to have to tell you, if you skip school again, I'm going to kill you? That's not the family. In the family of God, he doesn't set us down and scold us. He doesn't repeat the rules 100 times. What he does is he starts changing our nature so that the things that are beautiful and good and righteous, that are natural to him, we start wanting those things. Church, in the divine nature, I start wanting what is good and being uncomfortable more and more with my own evil. He's changing my nature. God isn't scolding me and he's not punishing me. He's doing something much better and much richer. He's at work in my inner soul, making me more like him so that I fit into his family better and better. I want to ask you a second question. Are you estranged from the family of God because you've lost your sense of the divine nature? This can happen. We can get so busy and so active that we run through life and we lose touch with the spiritual side of our inner self. We stop being spiritual beings and all we become is people fulfilling a schedule. Our life is not on the inside. Our life is entirely externalized. And when I get estranged from the divine nature, it's easy to become estranged from the family of God. I'm not sensing what holds us all together. I'm not sensing this family bond because I've lost my sense of the divine nature. And it becomes easier and easier to live a purely physical life and to allow our spiritual side to become less and less and less compelling. We lose our sense of the divine nature. I stop feeling what a wonderful thing it is to be loved by God. I stop being impressed by my big brother Jesus Christ, who is so preeminent in everything. I stop hearing those whispers of the Holy Spirit that I talked to you about last week. And when I lose my sense of the divine nature, I lose my sense of God's place and presence in my life, and I end up living a purely physical life that's never fulfilling. Can you hear me, church? What are the qualities of the divine nature? If God is sharing a divine nature with me, what should I be looking for? Well, here's what Peter tells us. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's a pretty big sentence, but Paul likes to do that. Let's break it down into pieces. Number one, the divine nature is the power and the ability of God at work in us. Can you hear this, church? When I'm sharing in the divine nature, there's something about the ability of God that is at work in me, and there's something about the ability of God that's at work through me. I'm doing things well that I otherwise wouldn't have even done because something of the ability of God is at work through me. This Christmas offering, where in 3 weeks you gave $40,000, church, that is the ability of God at work in us. That is the ability of God at changing the human soul, turning us from being selfish to being generous. That is the power of God at work in us. Do you see that? There are people every week in this church who volunteer to do incredible things. We have a team right now doing a service at an assisted living home. Those people aren't able to get out, and some of them never have a visitor other than when our church shows up and does a service there. That is the power of God at work in people, serving other people, so that those people remember that God cares about them and he's still sympathetic to their human need. Two, the divine nature is the life of God enlivening us. There is a life that is greater than just human life, and it's spiritual life. I've told you this before. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and Christ made us alive. My spiritual nature was dead, And Christ shares the divine nature with me, and my spiritual nature is alive again. There's something alive in me that is capable of relating to God. 3, godliness, godlikeness. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that your Heavenly Father wants to take you through a series of life experiences that make you more and more like Him? Is that a beautiful thing, church? I see it in humanity. Dads who like to hunt can't wait to take their sons hunting. They want to share their life with them. Moms that are great cooks want to get their kids in the kitchen and cook with them. They want to share their life with them. Some of you have done family vacations, and you do it for on the purpose so we will always remember the time we did this together. It's just normal for a family to want to share their life together. And in godliness, God says, I love you. You're my kids. I want to share what's best about my life with you. I want to share experiences with you. I want you to experience what it's like to be treated well by a good father. That's the heart of God. You are in the family where your father is seriously interested in sharing the best of who he is and the quality of his life with you. 4, the knowledge of God makes us thoughtful through the knowledge of him. Remember last week I said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. People who share the Spirit of God, people who share the nature of God, they understand the things of God in ways that people who don't have the nature of God will never understand. In the same way that I'll never understand why people are willing to risk their life climbing Mount Everest. I'm not doing it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't sound fun. Oh, great. I'm going to go so high on a mountain that I can't breathe. And there's a good chance that I could get blown off. And if I don't get blown off, I might freeze to death up there. I can't think of anything I would rather not do. Church, in the family of God, God's nature helps us to understand who he is and why he works the way he does. Can you hear this? 5, the glory of God makes us honorable. The human soul hates to be shamed. Please don't ever shame your family. Don't shame them. Nothing good comes from it. Nothing good comes from it. God doesn't shame us. He shares his glory with us. Church, one more time. God doesn't shame you. He shares his glory with you. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory, you receive the divine nature. And when you receive the divine nature, God is at work on your soul to make you a better person, and you become more and more honorable. Your family connection to God makes you a more honorable soul. Worthy to be honored in your family. 6, the excellence of Christ makes us virtuous. I think I've shared this with you before. This Greek word means ideal, everything that you should be. Arete. So the Greeks didn't carve real people, they carved ideal people. You get it? When you see a Greek statue, that's not of a real person, that is an ideal person. That is the best looking man that a charioteer should be. That is the best looking woman that the Greeks thought should be. That's the best looking horse that it has every quality a horse should have. That's what this word means. When I share in the divine nature, God is at work on me day by day to give me every quality that I should have. Your Father wants you to grow up well. He wants you to be a full and complete person. He doesn't want anything left undone in you. When you're in his family, he is at work in every way he can to complete you as the ideal that he had when he created you. Church, I'm in the family of God. It's such an awesome thing. What a blessing that we have a family like this with such a great God who says, I'm not leaving you undone. I'm not leaving you incomplete. I'm going to be at work in you day by day. And I'm going to make you the soul I created you to be. God gives his family his divine nature as a gift. This is important. How do I get this divine nature? We don't achieve it. I want you to stop thinking that somehow or another you're going to get your act together one day and you're going to be able to stand up and say to God, could I please be in your family? Look what a good person I've become. That's not the way it works. It's just the opposite. We show up as homeless children. And he says, I'm going to make everything different for you. Old things are going to pass away, and behold, all things are going to become new. You don't achieve the divine nature. It's a gift that God gives to his family. We don't achieve the divine nature. We acknowledge the gift by faith. We simply say to God, by faith, I accept everything you're willing to give me in the divine nature. And then we give thanks and we worship God for sharing his divine nature with us. Now, I want to talk to you something that's really right to the heart. We respond to the divine nature with a true and living love, not with a hypocritical love or with an abstract love. Let me tell you the difference between true love and abstract love. This guy and his wife are in the kitchen. She buys him a pair of sunglasses, and he says, I got us something too. And he takes them out into the front yard, and there's two brand new trucks there. Because, of course, everybody can just go out and buy two brand new high-end trucks whenever they want. One is this red SUV, and the other one's a pickup. And the girl runs out, and she says, I love it! And the guy says, I love it! And the guy goes, I like red. That's abstract love. You don't love a pickup truck. Now, my pickup truck loves me, but you don't. That's abstract love. What is living love? What is unhypocritical love? Living love. The best thing I can describe is It's what you feel when you hold your child for the first time. When I took those babies in my arms, I'm sorry, you love your spouse with a selfish love. We can't help ourselves. Our love for our spouses is tainted, but we can love our children with an absolute pure love. Can somebody remember this? I held my children in my arms, and I love them with a living love. Can you hear this? It was a living love. There was nothing selfish about it. I would have died on the spot for them right there. It was more than an idea. It was a gripping of my whole nature. Anyone? Now, I want to ask you, how do you love God? Do you love him with an abstract love? The love the lady had for the new pickup? Or do you love him with a soul-gripping love? You love him in the kind of way that it affects you in your inner self. You love him in a kind of way that selfishness seems to fade away. And who he is and what he is and what he means to you becomes compelling. Church? See, because that's where the divine nature is supposed to end up leading us. I love him because he first loved me. I love him the way he taught me by loving me. And this whole idea that God is love stops being an abstract piece of poetry, and it becomes a profound moment in the human heart. Can you hear me, church? In the divine nature, I stop loving God as an abstract idea, and something on the inner true me, my real self, my real soul, loves him with a living love that's compelling. I wonder if you can hear that this morning. And if you can't hear that, would you open your heart and receive the divine nature? There's no downside to it, church. We draw upon the divine nature in pleasing God and being influential with people every day. The divine nature is not an abstract idea. It's something you draw upon every single day. Tomorrow, when you need to be better than what you are, you draw on the divine nature. Tomorrow, when you need help that you can't get anywhere else, you draw on the divine nature. Tomorrow, when you want to overcome evil, you don't do it yourself, you draw on the divine nature. Church? Tomorrow, when you need to serve in a way that your human nature doesn't want to, you draw on the divine nature. Humans need Mount Everest. There's something about who we are that we need that. But I'm telling you, the family of God needs Mount Calvary. We can get by without Mount Everest, but we can't get by without Mount Calvary Church. I want to remind you that the divine nature isn't free. It cost God something to share his nature with you. Can you hear this? It isn't free. He's not shelling it out as some kind of cheap gimmick to get people to like him. The divine nature cost Jesus Christ everything. You have the divine nature because Christ paid the ultimate price to give it to you freely. And I, for one, am so grateful that he gave me his divine nature at the cost that it cost him, and invites me to be part of the family.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, Call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.